30 years of Saturday in the Park, a conversation with Big Daddy and Dave Bernstein.
The concept of having a Grandview Park evolved over a lot of nights of different groups of our friends sitting around drinking beers up in the park.
The stories behind the music.
You want to start a festival, just start it. Don't ask someone who's been doing a festival for 20 years.
And how the magic of Saturday in the Park comes together each year.
This place is amazing. Underutilized.
We'll take a look back at the inception of Saturday in the Park.
And there were some city staff standing there, and they were talking about us and these guys that were going to do this festival in the park, and that there was no way the council was going to approve it.
To now, 30 years later.
We went to Cy Chesterman in the end, who gave us $7,500 at the time and said, I'm not going to do this forever, but I want to see you guys get off the ground, so good luck. Without Cy, we would have never done it.
This is the Saturday in the Park 30th Anniversary Special, presented by Hard Rock Hotel and Casino Sioux City on Classic Rock 99.5.
Thank you so much for joining us today. I am your host, Big Daddy, and we have as a special guest the guy who put it all together, Dave Bernstein. David, welcome back into the studio.
Thank you. One of the guys.
In 1991, you and Adam Flagus decided to put together the Blues Fest. It wasn't even Saturday in the
Park.
That
is true. It's called Coca-Cola's Saturday in the Park Blues Festival, I think it was the name of it. It was called Saturday in the Park, but I think we had Blues Festival in there. It was bigger than the word Saturday in the Park. And a guy named Maury Miller, local musician and eclectic music fan, he pointed out to me very diligently that it wasn't really a Blues Fest because we had Buckwheat Zydeco and Gatemouth Brown as the headliners. Buckwheat was a Zydeco guy and Gatemouth was sort of a jazz blues guy. And I promptly, unfortunately for him, said, okay, fine, we're just going to call it a music fest from here on out. It really was never a Blues Fest. The model was always sort of like the New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Festival, which I started going to the same year that we started Saturday in the Park. I think you got to have the right vibe of jazz for an all-day fest with a big crowd. Otherwise, you kind of lose the crowd. It's difficult to do jazz with like 10 or 20,000 people, but that just wasn't our thing. It really stemmed from the blues. Second year was the Neville Brothers. Third year was Dr. John and Buddy Guy. Fourth year, Santana's.
Let's go back to the very beginning when you and Adam were sitting around trying to put a music fest together, sure, if you will. How did you pick Grandview Park, other than the fact it's absolutely gorgeous? But did you run across any hassles with the city at all?
So we were sitting around with Tom Gruskin, was a pretty instrumental part of it as well. Tom lived here at the time and was son of Earl and Joanne Gruskin. Joanne was on the city council, so she helped really shepherd everything through. Earl had been a former mayor and was on the Woodbury County Board of Supervisors at the time. There was an epiphany. I remember driving to Adams. The epiphany was to have it for free. I'd run for a couple years of fest at Northwestern in Chicago that was free. And it was easy because you just went. You know, you didn't have to jack around with fences and tickets and stuff. Concept of having a Grandview Park evolved over a lot of nights of different groups of our friends sitting around drinking beers up in the park. Just looking at that place and sitting around thinking, you know, this place is amazing. Underutilized. The municipal band was playing there at the time. I don't know that we were municipal band fans as much as we were more rock and music kind of fans. Not to take away from that. It just evolved into the concept. Kept talking about, like, let's figure out a way to do something. We were kind of bored. We'd move back here. We're looking for more live music. Ultimately, that led to the Blue Cellar as well, which is a whole nother story. I remember our steps where we said, okay, if we can get a liquor license and sell beer, we need to do that. And we have media sponsors. Then we can leverage that into sponsors. And if we can get some money from some sponsors, we can book bands and pay for them. And that was our step. So we went to the city. Joanne helped us greatly. Took us to see Judy Nichols, who was the second in command, basically, at the Public Works. Judy, like, took care of everything for us. Do this, fill this out. We went to a city council meeting, and I still remember going in the old city hall, and we were so young, and we were standing outside of the old council chambers, and there were some city staff standing there, and they were talking about us and these guys that were going to do this festival in the park, and that there was no way the council was going to approve it. And they had no idea it was us, because I swear, like, we were so, it seemed young at the time. And we didn't know any better, which was good. Like, I tell people all the time, I'm like, you know what, you want to start a festival, just start it. Don't ask someone who's been doing a festival for 20 years, because they'll talk you out of it. They'll scare the crap out of you. We just jumped in, they gave us a beer permit, and we went to Cy Chesterman. We went to a competitive radio station at the time. KTAV was quick to sign on. Bill Turner at the time was a legend. And Bill Turner called me literally the night at like 11 at night or 10 at night. The night I dropped up the proposal and said, we accept your offer. And I said, well, we're just like pitching. And he's like, no, we accept. I was like, well, we haven't even dropped the other proposal off at KCAU and squeezed me on that deal. So he locked us in. And then we went to Cy Chesterman in the end, who gave us $7,500 at the time and said, I'm not going to do this forever, but I want to see you guys get off the ground. So good luck. Without Cy, we would have never done it. We got Wellmark, Benetton, which my mom owned. So that doesn't really count. Although thank you, Mom.
Yeah.
And Gateway gave us $1,000. We were off. That was it.
Talking to David Bernstein about the 30th anniversary of Saturday in the Park. Neville Brothers made it in, did you say, the second year the Neville Brothers came around?
Second year. We had the Neville Brothers kind of on our radar early. They were pretty hot at the time. They had come out with Yellow Moon. Really wanted to get them. I was talking to a buddy of mine in Chicago who wanted to get them for, he was booking Taste of Chicago. I remember after the first year, Ted Waite from Gateway was really enamored with what we did. I ran into him and he said, hey, I really want to talk to you about that further. I want to help you. So I emailed him. And I used to email Ted and he'd get back to me in like 2 seconds. And people were like, how do you get a hold of that guy? He's so busy. Like, he doesn't call you back in 2 weeks. He calls you back. He emails me back like 2 minutes later. So we had a meeting, came down to our office and we were meeting. And he said, what do you want to do next year? And I said, I really want to get the Neville Brothers. And he said, well, what would those guys cost? And I said, $15,000. And he said, okay, cool. And then a little while later, I said, okay, what do you mean by okay, cool? Like, I gotta quantify that, right? And he goes, no, I'll pay for him. It's good. It became Gateway Saturday in the Park the second year. We brought in light. The first year, we didn't have lights. Buckwheat Zydeco, for those that remember, played in the dark. Little ring lights around, so they were backlit. It was really pretty easy, accidentally.
It's the Neville Brothers' 30th anniversary of Saturday in the Park with Classic Rock 99.5.
She forgot all about me. Oh, Charles Neville and Eric Struthers.
This is the Saturday in the Park 30th Anniversary Special, presented by Hard Rock Hotel and Casino, Sioux City, on Classic Rock 99.5.